very good morning to one and all. Zoe Cabman alongside Jeff Siegel for the Backstretch podcast. It is a glorious day outside, Siegel, and I hear you've been doing some extracurricular activities. You are on the fitness bandwagon.
I am. I'm training. I'm in training. I was on the treadmill for several months. Took a 3-mile spin around the Rose Bowl yesterday to see if I could make it. I made it in glorious fashion. I am now a fitness freak, and I've lost about 20 some odd pounds in the last couple of years.
Your hair's starting to grow back.
I know. I got to go shave that off. But the good news is that when I was working out, I was thinking like a horse. You know, that's what I do. You know, and I didn't want to go too fast too early. You know, I want to kind of ease into it. You know, get a couple of weeks of gallop. You know, jogging, galloping, and then start breezing a little bit. Not going to be going very fast, but. I was able to make it around in the morning in the sunshine with all the people there. It was fun. I'd never even thought about doing this before. I know you've been hiking forever. You know.
So your first official timed work was on Monday.
45 minutes around the 3-mile Rose Bowl, which is fun.
I'm impressed.
No, I was. I was able to, you know, 45 minutes and you're doing it and you're thinking, well, what goes through your mind, you know? So I went by with my parking spot at the Rose Bowl for the football game, because I have my own parking spot there for UCLA football. Had plenty of time to think about how lousy the team is, because I'm right there at the Rose Bowl. And then I was thinking about other things, including our podcast, which we're doing this morning. And there's lots to talk about, really.
Absolutely.
I wanted to go over, we'll talk about the Pegasus World Cup and maybe, you know, the emergence of a star that was always on the back burner. But maybe Mucho Gusto is a little bit better than we all gave him credit for, maybe even better than his trainer gave him credit for. I think he's going to be a really, really good four-year-old. Were you surprised at the performance he turned in winning the Pegasus World Cup with a rather dominant performance?
I thought he was fantastic, and that's going to be our first topic, the Pegasus World Cup. Mucho Gusto, much improved or in the right place at the right time. Now, this is something we will never know, the what-ifs. He was so dominant. What if Omaha Beach had run? We saw the Omaha Beach that got beat in the dirt mile. We all thought he couldn't get beat. He got beat. What if? What if we'll never know? Omaha Beach already arrived at Spendthrift Farm and will be standing for 45,000 this year. But Mucho Gusto, 107 bias speed figure. A new rider, Irad Ortiz, gave him a perfect trip in the Pegasus World Cup. Things set up for him. And I think more importantly, this horse had a tough campaign last year. He ran 7 times. He shipped everywhere. He didn't miss a dance. He did everything that was asked of him. He's a gutsy horse. Bob did the right thing. In a year where there aren't too many older handicap horses, he gave him the time off that he needed, and he surely needed it from the Oklahoma Derby into this year, and it paid dividends. This was just supposed to be a prep. He wasn't even supposed to run in the World Cup, Siegel. He was going to run on the undercard.
I know, and I look back at his form, and Mucho Gusto has run now 11 times. Only one time in his life was he allowed to run at the same track twice in a row.
Right.
And that took place last spring when he won the Laz Barrera and then came back and won the Affirmed, beating Rhodes to the Santa Anita Derby winner. Other than that, he has never been able to run at the same racetrack back to back. And I thought, you know, I think one of the reasons was that Bob Baffert never really thought of him as being the really top type of horse. He was always in races that were secondary or as a second stringer.
Right.
And you look at Mucho Gusto's form. He has now run 11 times. He's got 6 wins, 2 seconds, and 2 thirds. Very admirable. His only off-the-board finish was when he was 4-5 in the Oklahoma Derby, which was the culmination of his 3-year-old season, and he was a tired horse at that stage.
Absolutely.
But off the freshening, training very well, and bred to get much better as he gets older, being by Mucho Macho Man and out of a nearby Giants Causeway, there is no reason in the world why Mucho Gusto cannot become I don't know, West Coast, this year's version of West Coast. West Coast was a good three-year-old, not a great three-year-old, but a good one, and got better as he got older. And I think Mucho Gusto has a chance to do the same. Now, this horse brought $625,000 in the Timonium two-year-old and training seal, which is a lot of coin for a son of Mucho Macho Man. Did you see him at the sale?
I did see him, yeah. And he was lovely. But I also saw him in March, and this just goes to show you the difference a few months makes into getting horses ready. Some horses aren't ready to breeze 10 and change, 20 and change, what have you, in March. This horse was originally purchased for, I think, $14,000 in January, $55,000 maybe in September. They put him through the OBS March sale. He RNA'd for $55,000. They brought him back in May, and he made $625,000. It just goes to show you the difference a sale makes, the difference a time makes, maybe a few ticks faster. So much is put on these horses' breeze shows. The Mucho Gusto was a standout at Timonium, the Fazio Tipton sale up there, when he was not a standout in the March sale at OBS.
You know what's impressive is the fact that he's still going strong and maybe and obviously better than ever, despite going through not one but two two-year-old training sales, which can be a little taxing, let's face it.
Absolutely, yeah.
So he is a very, very impressive individual. He is, I thought he was going to train at Gulfstream and then fly over to Saudi Arabia. Apparently he's come back now, right?
And that's the MO for Bob. He likes to get horses home, check them out himself. Obviously, Jimmy went on the road, did a great job. Bob stayed at home, watched from his grade one couch, where he's watched so many grade ones and sent Jimmy on the road. So he'll get him back and he will go, obviously, with Mackenzie. And now he is a legitimate threat to Mackenzie.
You asked the question, what would have happened if Omaha Beach had been in the race? Based on what I saw of Mucho Gusto and the way he popped the gate, looked like he was going to the front, settled back off the lead, switched off, and then was very impressive when Chirp 2 at the top of the stretch and just destroyed the field, I'm not so sure Omaha Beach would have beaten him. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, 107, that equals or right with Omaha Beach and without Lasix, which is key here
very
as well
much
because
so. He's
already had the prep without Lasix. According to most connections, most horses did just fine without Lasix, and he will go over and race in Saudi where they can't use Lasix either. I'm pretty sure they can't use Lasix
That's right.
I got a chance to run into John Sadler's assistants this morning, Juan Laver, and I simply asked, and this is just coming from Juan, you know, what about higher power? Was he sick? You know, we heard that he was off his food for perhaps a couple of days, and he said no. He seems to be fine. He doesn't appear to be sick. He's scope clean. There doesn't seem to be a legitimate excuse for him other than he did not run.
He didn't fire at all, and that's shocking to me. I didn't think he had to win, but I thought he would be right there. His form had been pretty consistent since John had gotten him. So I don't know. Higher power winds up dead last.
I'm sure they'll go through every test, but right now perhaps he still may go on to Saudi and to Dubai.
Yeah, that's,
he's going to have to jump through some hoops before
sure.
they put him on a plane.
I tell you what, that's asking a lot. You send him to Dubai and Dubai and Saudi and he runs like that, you might lose him for the entire year. And, you know, he was always consistent. He was in the money 12 out of 15 times. He's a good horse, and he just flat did not show up. And I guess, I don't know. But the bottom line is we may have a leader, I think we do, in the older handicap division now, and we could certainly use it, Mucho Gusto and maybe Mackenzie as well. Mackenzie is always going to have that stigma of not really being a mile and a quarter type horse. Maybe he will be as an older horse now, but Mucho Gusto, based on his pedigree, there's no doubt that he'll run on, and the way he's developed and matured, look out below for Mucho Gusto.
You know what's going to help Mackenzie in Saudi? And I did not know this, and I'm going to look into it further. I was speaking to Gary Stevens this morning, who was having a good chat to Joao Rosario, who went out on the 15th, and he went out to go and ride in Saudi, and they were talking about the configuration. The race in Saudi is going to be run at one turn. That is the configuration. I really think that will help the likes of Mackenzie.
That'd be a long, far turn to the top of the stretch. I mean,
yeah.
You think about a one-turn race, I mean, and it's a mile and a quarter, right? Is that?
It might be a mile and eight.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
All right.
But it's one turn,
okay.
Regardless.
All right. I don't think that should. I don't think that'll bother Mucho Gusto. I
think it'll help McKenzie though.
It'll definitely help McKenzie. You can trick him into thinking it's a one-turn mile, right?
Right.
it's just a mile. Just it's a little longer stretch, you know, because we know how good McKenzie is at one turn. But as far as Mucho Gusto is concerned, he's run one turn 3 times in his career. And that was an easy maiden win, a win at Del Mar, and a Grade 3 as a 2-year-old to Bob Hope, and then a very impressive win in the 7-furlong Lasbara last year. So I don't think it's going to bother him either.
Right. So, I mean, that's a good look at the Pegasus World Cup. We're talking about the Saudi Cup. What about the Pegasus World Cup? What can we envision happening? Because at the end of the day, Siegel, it's still a $3 million race. And it's the second biggest dirt race in North America. That's nothing to be sniffed at.
Not at all. And I think in the present configuration of the conditions, I think it'll be fine. It's basically the Don handicap with a lot of purse money.
Yeah.
But that's okay. It's still $3 million. There's nothing wrong with that. And while it's a lot, it's early in the year, a lot of horses who are 3-year-olds turning 4 and have run in the Breeders' Cup, they have the option of staying in light training for a couple of months since the Breeders' Cup and then getting geared up again. And then if they're good enough, going from here to Dubai or from here to Saudi, or maybe just packing your bags and doing what a few of the other horses in the division are going to do, and that is just get geared up a little bit later on in the season. But I think it has its place. Unfortunately for us in California, I wish this Pegasus was the Santa Anita handicap, because I think that Santa Anita handicap now for us is kind of on the outside looking in.
Well, just so everybody listening, the Saudi Cup is 1.8 miles on the dirt on February the 25th. I read somewhere that they were talking about, you know, maybe moving the Pegasus World Cup. I think I read a quote from Mike Lakow, who's the racing secretary there.
Where to?
Backwards. Maybe the last week in December.
Okay.
Maybe a push towards the Eclipse Awards.
See, well, I think that makes sense, because you still, if you gear up for the Breeders' Cup, you don't really have to back off and then come back again.
You can just coast into it.
It makes for a very good...
If you're on the bubble, perhaps, for an Eclipse Award, you got one more race after the Breeders'
Cup
$3 million. Solidify.
Right.
That's just...
No, well, you know what it would... See, here's what... It might impact a race like the Cigar Mile, which has got that spot, you know.
But that's not $3 million.
That's true.
I mean, money talks.
Money
talks. We
know
that. We're talking,
you know,
Dubai.
I think that's
We're
a good idea.
Saudi. Money talks.
I hadn't thought about that, but now that you mention it, the big championship Gulfstream Park meeting begins 1st of December. You know, this now what they do is they have that the claiming crown, and they've got the race for the Central American horses. They can do that.
Caribe.
Yeah, and then they can have maybe that in the middle of December. Not a lot's going on in the middle of December. I mean, college football is switched off until the bowl season. There's nothing there. I mean, NFL still goes on, but that's fine. They have Sundays. Why not?
Talking points. All right,
I'm going to vote for that.
Let's vote on that, and let's move on and talk about the Pegasus World Cup Turf, another race that garnered an awful lot of attention. And again, Mike Maker claiming this horse for $80,000. Zulu Alpha wins 105 by a speed figure. He was claimed back in October of 2018 and has done awfully well since.
I don't often say this, but I missed this one. I mean, I looked at his form after the race, and he was 12-1 in the morning line, and I really kind of... thought,
Five treble digit by a speed figures going into it. I overlooked him too.
2 out of 3 at Gulfstream Park going into the race. Good inside draw, guaranteed a great trip, which he got. The only reason why I kind of looked away from him, and this was a mistake on my part, is that I wasn't really sure if, and this is where I was wrong, I wasn't really sure if he was going to be able to act at 1 3/16 after being in so many mini marathon 3-turn races. He had not run a middle distance race since way back in December of 2018, and that was in the Fort Lauderdale. But that, you know, he didn't run well there, but he'd run well in a middle distance before. In fact, he'd won a race at Churchill by 9 lengths, an allowance race way back then. The day he was claimed, actually, the optional claimer, and he won that race with a 103 buyer. So that was at 1 1/16. So I missed him. I went for another horse, the Sacred Light, who didn't run badly at a big price. He was 4th, you know. But I'm looking at Zulu Alpha, and maybe now that they know that he doesn't necessarily have to go a mile and three-eighths or a mile and a half to win a good race, maybe that'll allow Mike Maker to be a little bit more, I don't know, not creative is not the right word, but maybe he can look at some races maybe he wasn't otherwise going to look at. Middle distance
Mike's
races.
Been so good at this. I can probably name 8 horses that he's claimed for 35 to 80,000 that have gone on to be Grade One winners. Like, this is his niche. So a big congratulations to Michael Hui and trainer Mike Maker with Zulu Alpha. Let's talk Magic Wand. Second last year, second this year. Aidan O'Brien still hasn't managed to break through. What is he 0 for?
He's 0 for 51 now. I don't know when his last... sorry, 0 for 51 in North America. Okay.
Okay.
I don't remember. I don't know. I didn't look it up as to when his most recent win in the United States was, but he added to the total. But not to be deterred in any way, shape, or form, Magic Wand is now also headed to Saudi Arabia. She's now going to try the dirt. Why not? She's tried everything else except for maybe the... maybe next year she can run over the jumps. I don't know. But Magic Wand, who ran well, although I got to admit, given the kind of trip she got, the front-running trip, I thought she would put up a little bit more resistance than she did. But anyway, she's headed to... I'm not going to give her much of a look against Mackenzie and Mucho Gusto if she runs
bless,
in the dirt.
Bless her heart.
Yeah. I mean,
let's just talk about the last year. So last year in 2019, she was 5th at Maidan.
Right.
She came over to Belmont for the Man of War, 3rd, beaten 3/4 of the length. She went to Ascot. She went to the Curra. She went to Ascot again. Then she came to Arlington Park, was 2nd in the Arlington Million to Bricks and Mortar. She went back to Leopardstown, 2nd in the Irish Champions. She went to Australia. She was 4th beaten 3 in the Cox Place. She was 10th in the Melbourne Cup. She ran in the McKinnon. She won that Grade 1 at Flemington. Then she went to Hong Kong, missed by a nose in the Hong Kong Cup. And then she comes here to Pegasus in 2020. Like, what an amazing mare she is.
It really is. I mean, it's a credit to her much more than the game plan they've mapped out for her.
My goodness.
I know. I mean, here in the States, we run a horse on January 1st, and they don't want to run back till mid-February because they might bounce.
Oh, my goodness.
It might come back too soon. You know?
It is.
In fact, one of those races in Australia, didn't she come back in 4 days or something? I think one of those races where she,
5th of November, off the Melbourne Cup, she went to stayed at Flemington around 5 days later and took down the McKinnon.
Yeah.
So that was...
How do you come back off a 2-mile race and come back in 5 days and win a legitimate Grade 1?
Truly amazing. Maybe she can beat the boys on the dirt. Maybe she's going to be better. She's 5 years old and she
Magic
has earned
Wand.
Her place in my heart. So that's Magic Wand. Let's talk about Mo Forza.
What happened to him? Now, I had mentioned the possibility that he could be this year's version of River Boyne. River Boyne, of course, an incredible 3-year-old in California. Hasn't won a race since. And Mo Forza, similar pattern. He started to dominate.
He didn't run that awfully, though, did he?
He didn't run badly, but he didn't. I mean, he was off the board, and we were hoping that he was going to. He was among the favorites. I don't think he was favorite, but he was like second or third choice. He was wide, never really got over, and then never really showed up after that. So
I'll give him one. I'll give him one. Bring him back here, and we'll see where he winds up next. So that's Mo Forza. Let's talk about Peter Miller and Texas Wedge and Captain Scotty.
How about that? I mean, he's Mr. Sprint Champion Trainer. I mean, Peter does a great job with the sprinters. Texas Wedge won a stake at the Gulfstream. He's headed to the $2 million turf sprint there. Captain Scotty, I know it's just a 4-horse field, but he won, beat the favorite. And he's headed now to the Golden Shaheen. Roy H. back galloping. I mean, he's... hasn't run in a year. Hopefully he makes it back. I think he's got to be at least 8 by now. Maybe
at
even
least
though,
8.
So, and of course, you know, don't forget what Pitty did with Belva Bay. He won the Breeders' Cup turf sprint. She was subsequently sold at auction for over $1 million, I think. And
1.5.
Right.
She was fabulous at the Fuzzy Tip.
So,
sale.
Tip my hat to Peter Miller, who has taken over the role as maybe North America's leading sprint trainer. He does well with a lot of horses, I mean, all kinds of horses, but for sprinters, look to Peter Miller.
Baby talk. Let's talk about the babies. Right, everyone's dropping babies left, right, and center.
I know, and we just wanted to bring up the fact that Songbird has delivered a filly by Tappet. This is her second foal. She had a filly by Arrogate. You know, and what did she bring? She brought something like $5 million when she was sold at auction. Something
almost
like
10, I think.
Maybe you're right. It was like 9.5 million. That's right, exactly. Okay, so I don't know whether the connections are going to be selling the foals, keeping them, or fillies. You may want to keep one of those, you know. So we will. I always like to see these great mares and they're in production, and we want to see, how if they can. Duplicate themselves. But I wanted to ask you, because it seems like, and we have a list a mile long of terrific race mares that can't produce, not even themselves, but anything. Like, for example, Zenyatta has never had a winner yet. Rags to Riches did not have anything remotely as good as she was, for sure. Now, Rachel Alexandra was retired as a broodmare after, I think, her second or third foal. She had it was very difficult for her to deliver the foals, and they decided for her own health that she would never be bred again.
She had one
colt that I think was undefeated, and now it's stud.
Joe Sharp trained
a curling horse.
Can't think of his name.
It was Jesse's Dream, I think. And then, because he was bred to curl, he had them both. And then a filly. Group one stakes placed, maybe a stakes winner, and that's it for her. But by and large, great mares are no slam dunk.
No,
to be great brood mares.
It's a good pedigree line that generally produces a great brood mare. I mean, you look at Oatsy and the foals that she's had. You have these blue hen mares that you don't necessarily see them on the racetrack doing wonderful things, but they get in the breeding shed and all of a sudden they're producing champion after champion after champion. And it goes the same for a lot of sires as well. You look at Tappet, Michael Dickinson trained him. He didn't set the world on
fire until he went to the breeding shed. Neither did Stormcat, if you want to know the truth.
Right.
You know?
So, I mean, it just depends. I mean, your question to me is, who has a better chance of being successful in the breeding shed, a great horse or a great mare? It has to be a great horse when you look at a mare's only going to have one foal a year.
Right.
So let's say they have 16 foals in their life.
If they're lucky.
If they're lucky. So I pulled Tappet.
Right.
So Tappet last year in 2019 had 282 runners, 147 winners. Mm-hmm. You know, Songbird had one foal. There's no comparison.
Well, true. I mean, obviously a stallion will have 1,000 or more foals. Chances are, among those 1,000, he's going to have some good horses. Whereas a mare, as you pointed out, one foal a year, and that's it. And you say 16, that's if they live, they'll be 25. But on the other hand, if you have a mare that usually will have best you can hope for is that a mare will have a foal 3 out of 4 years, you know?
Right.
And so you figure if you can get 7 or 8, you're probably beating the odds. But here's the thing. A stallion is not, if a mare can have just one stakes winner, she's successful. She's fine. Two is, great, and three is like ridiculous. But a stallion, even though he may end up with 15 or 20 stakes winners, if it takes 1,000 foals to get those 15 or 20 seconds, 20 stakes winners, he's in Turkey or in Japan. I'll give you a perfect example of this. Perfect example was a Kentucky Derby winner named Animal Kingdom. And he went to stud, Coolmore bought him, and he was given not only every chance with some terrific mares, but he was also sent to South America. No, or was it Australia? I think it was Australia. So he was bred in Southern and Northern Hemisphere time. And he's had about 15 or 20 stakes winners. But he's done it with like 1,000 foals, and he was considered to be a failure. So he was shuttled off to Japan. So there are, different qualifications to judge these. But I will say this. I mean, if you can get yourself a good mare, and that's why, if you ask any breeder, Zoe, they will say they would rather have a half brother to a top horse than a foal out of a top horse. They want the half brother or sister as opposed to the foal out of the mare, because once the mare goes to stud, she's got to start all over again, really.
Right. No, I mean, that's a point of itself. So yes, Songbird had a baby. There's plenty of new stallions out there. We've seen some of Justify's babies on the ground. Collected had his first foal.
Okay. Now there's a horse I think will be very successful for a price that won't be astronomical.
Stands for 17.5.
That's great value. I know he's unproven. He's by City Zip, nothing wrong with that. But he was a versatile, good looking, fast. There's a horse that I think, if you're going to go buy some Keeneland Yearlings in 2021. You yep. might look at some of those collected. Good horse.
Yeah, the first foal out of Dat Echo, nice mare. Yeah. Apparently looks really nice. So kudos to them, and we look forward to a whole lot more. I'm actually expecting one by More Spirit.
You are? Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations. When he, hope you have a good foal.
March, already have an honor code on the ground and a Texas Red, so we'll see how that goes. All right, let's move on and let's look.
We got some good races this week.
To some prep races, some three-year-old prep races going on all over the country. The Holy Bull, the Bob Lewis, the Withers, and the Swale. Let's start off with the Holy Bull Siegel. Who's going in there that you like?
Okay, this is now we're really into Derby prep season, right?
Let's do
this.
This
is playoff time. There are a couple of horses. I mean, the Holy Bull is on Saturday, mile and 1/16th in the main track, so it's a very good race. It should have a decent size field, I think. I'm looking at, well, there's a colt that broke his maiden recently for Gustavo Delgado named Caracaro, Uncle Mo colt, who was a 1/6. He's moving right up in class. Chance it, of course, just won the Mucho Macho Man. He's very, very good as well. So those are two that I know of now. The same day they're having the Swale going 7/8 of a mile. Greenlight Go, who won his first two starts.
Good colts, then he was
then he was second to the in the Champagne. He's starting off sprinting for Jimmy Jerkins, as you mentioned. He's a hard spun colt. I don't know how far he really wants to run, but he at 7/8 of a mile, he should be really tough as well. Now Tis the Law, I think, is supposed to run in the Holy Bull. Very good colt. Won his first two starts. I'm very much troubled third in the Kentucky Jockey Club. I do think Tis the Law is an exceptional colt for Barkley Tag. Colt by constitution. Very interested to see how he's going to run. So the Holy Bull, to me, is going to be a rather significant prep, I think. And if Tis the Law comes back and does something as well as I think he's going to do, I think that's going to be significant. One other horse I want to mention, though. Stop me if you've heard this before, okay?
Okay.
A horse is running in a major Kentucky Derby prep. In Florida, that ran in Florida, first time out, for maiden $16,000, and won by 11 lengths. I'm not talking about Maximum Security. I am talking about a horse named Uncork the Bottle, who's also going to be in the Holy Bull. This is a colt, Safi Joseph trained Colonel John Colt, won his first start, claimed, whereas Maximum Security was not claimed. This one can't fool Safi Joseph. He claimed them for 10 3/4 lengths, came back in two starter optional claimers. One he won by 6 lengths. That was at Gulfstream Park West. Went down to Tampa Bay, won on the grass, won another race, so he's 3 for 3. Now he gets the acid test, Uncork the Bottle, by Travers winner Colonel John. Ready to run all day. Very interested to see how Uncork the Bottle does on the Holy Bull.
All right, well, we'll have the Bob Lewis out here in Southern California. It looks like Bob Baffert has got 4,000 words, Authentic, Azul Coast, High Velocity. These are all nominated. Obviously, all of them will not go. Tis a Magician for Dick Mandela. Finally broke his maiden in a nice way. He's a possible in there, as well as Tatian for Richard Baltus.
Yeah, I don't know who's Bob's going to start. I thought because he hadn't started since early December and he'd been training right along, why wouldn't this be a good launching spot for 1,000 words? I would think. Now, maybe he's going to put him on the plane. There are some races coming up. Sam F. Davis a week from Saturday. That's going to be there.
Independence Hall, I think, is going to go there.
No, he's actually... Yes, he is. You're
he's
right. Correct.
Tampa.
That is correct. And then we've got the Southwest, which is the following week. We'll be seeing who's going to run there.
It wouldn't surprise me if we see Authentic go there.
Okay, possibly.
So Nadal.
Yeah, so... I think there's a possibility that 1,000. You know, Bob doesn't make up his mind sometimes till. I was going to say till entry time.
Until the plane's waiting.
He doesn't make sometimes until the morning of the race. But I would like to see 1,000 words in the race. It looks like a logical spot for him. And then after that, we've got the Withers, and the Withers is an interesting race because it's Saturday at Aqueduct. It's 1 1/8 miles, the same distance, same everything that you'll see the Wood Memorial later on. Number of decent sort of horses. Nothing great off the. These are more recent maiden winners or allowance races. Bourbon Bay for Mark Hennig was second to Independence Hall in the Jerome, so we'll see if he can frank that form. Hail to the Chief was a very nice maiden winner at Turfway. And see how for Wesley Ward, see if he can act in the big circuit. Max Player was a winner at Parks, and the sloppy track for Linda Rice will be there. Honor Code Colt. You got Monday Morning Quarterback, a winner of a stakes at Laurel. They're kind of coming all over, a big melting pot for the Eastern horses, so that'll be interesting. A 10-length maiden special winner at Aqueduct named Portis for Todd Pletcher will be in the race. Shotsky's coming off of the Remsen win. He's supposed to run. That's a fun race. It's called the Withers at Aqueduct on Saturday.
So a great weekend of Kentucky Derby prep races. Once more, the Holy Bull, the Bob Lewis, the Withers, and the Swale. Sigurd, we're running out of time, but this week's rankings, 1 through 8, looks pretty much like last week.
The only thing I did was I have Storm the Court 5th. I moved him up from 6th.
Okay,
because he looks good in the morning. He's going to run in San Vicente, which is the following Saturday. I've got Nadal 1st, Authentic 2nd, Bob Affert 1 and 2. I have a hunch Nadal's not going to leave town. I think he's going to stay here and run in the San Felipe. That's just a gut feeling. Let's not forget, Justify didn't make his first start till the third week of February, came back in an allowance race, and then ran right into the Santa Anita Derby, where it was sink or swim for him. If he didn't run well there, he wasn't going to make the Derby. Nadal's got a month on him, so Bob can play around there. But I have Nadal, Authentic, Dennis's Moment 3rd. He's going to run in the Fountain of Youth in his first start this year. Tis the Law, number 4. He runs in the Holy Bull. Storm the Court, number 5. He runs in the San Vicente. Independence Hall, number 6, runs in the Sam F. Davis week from Saturday down at Tampa Bay. I have Thousand Words, number 7, probable for the Lewis, and then Governor Morris, who will run in the Southwest. Todd Pletcher, very impressive son of Constitution. He will be number 8.
And that'll do it. You heard it here. That's Siegel's top 8. Maybe we'll get a new one, like jump in the fray next week.
I'm always looking. You never know. These things are very fluid, as they say.
From east to west, Siegel will be scouring the entries and the results. For Jeff Siegel, I'm Zoe. We'll see you next week.